Is feminism equality between men and women, or is it overthrowing God's order? A biblical look at feminism on this slice of fresh bread. Welcome to Fresh Bread, a podcast ministry of Grace Bible Church, Gainesville, with Pastor Brandon and Pastor Keith. Well, thanks for clicking on Fresh Bread. Fresh Bread, where we're bringing the truth of God's Word to a starving world. Fresh Bread, podcast 104. That sounded funny. 104. Yeah, this is Fresh Bread 104. Can you believe that? 104 podcasts we've done. And I remember every one of them like it was like the back of my hand. And they're all fresh in my mind. What is that spot on my hand? Oh, it's a freckle. Anyway, what we're going to talk about today, there's a lot that's going on in our news. I didn't ask you yet. Oh, by the way, I'm Pastor Keith. He's Pastor Brandon. Pastor Brandon, as we're recording this, the Pope has passed away. Do you want to say anything real quick before we dive into our main topic?
Yeah, obviously big news that the Pope has passed away. You know, it's interesting because I think this, our discussion about feminism is going to play into that a little bit, because obviously the Pope was a Mary worshiper, and you know, this is again the issue of feminism is front and center with that. In terms of the Pope, I think we have to recognize that it is big news, and it's going to have a major impact. And we're going to see over the next few weeks, we're going to see a new Pope installed, and we're going to hear all the, you know, all the positives that everybody's going to talk about with the old Pope. And you know, he's going to all of a sudden, if he's not already a saint, he will be a saint according to the Catholic Church. And you know, we as Christians need to understand that. Yeah, that the Catholic Church preaches and teaches a false gospel, and they're false teachers, and we need to recognize that. Even as the world is trying to tell us, even people who we trust, Franklin Graham had posted something positive, and he had shook his hand at one point and met with him, and so posted a something positive about the Pope and how the Church is going to. Catholic Church is going to pick another Pope, and it was positive. And we, as Christians, that we can't do that. That's he taught a false gospel, and we need to recognize that it's another gospel, which is not a gospel, not the gospel at all. Same thing with what Paul said in Galatians 1. And so, as Christians, we need to be wise in how we deal with this and how we understand it.
Yeah, we'll see if the next Pope's a little more conservative, or will he be?
It doesn't matter.
More liberal.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, there's still a purveyor of lies, and whether they're more conservative or otherwise, you know, and there are some ways. And like if you have a Pope that's anti-abortion, you know, I'm thankful for that he's going to lead millions of people, you know, that they have in their church to at least be anti-abortion. I mean, like that's going to be that would be the official church teaching if that were the case. Yeah, I would be thankful for a more conservative Pope in that sense, because lives are saved. But at the end of the day, it's still a lie. You know, they still are purveyors of lies, and I can't get on board with that. So I can be thankful that the Lord is. I can be thankful that the Lord is showing his blessing, you know, there's a common grace about having a more conservative Pope that's going to be more conservative in terms of marriage, in terms of abortion, those sorts of things. But they're still purveyors of lies. And the problem is, even the guys that are conservative, you know, that ultimately that's even worse in some ways, because they draw people in, you know, they draw believers to think that they're on our side when they really aren't.
So it doesn't matter. So I guess Elf was right. Remember the movie Elf when he said, "You're sitting on a throne of lies."
Yeah,
that
would be the Pope.
All right. Well, let's move on to our main topic, and you kind of spilled the beans a little bit. We're going to talk about feminism. Feminism, is it equality with men, or is it women overthrowing God's order? When we talk about feminism, I guess there's different degrees of feminism, but I think, so let me just ask you point blank, is all feminism, does that go against God's order?
Well,
or is that a bad question?
Well, I don't know. I guess it depends on how you define feminism. If you define feminism as in a worldly way, yes, it is going against God's order. If feminism is designed or is defined as basically emphasizing the value and the worth of women, if it's defined as emphasizing the worth of women, then that's a biblical concept. Like I don't have a problem. You know, women are equal to men in the sense of worth, and they're, you know, joint heirs with, you know, of Christ. And so that's what Peter says. And so that's a biblical concept, but it's in terms of functionality. That's where, when there's equality in terms of functionality or roles, that's where it becomes problematic, and that's what we're seeing in the world. So you ask about the biblical order, it's actually usurping the biblical order.
Yeah. So what's wrong with femininity? Nothing.
There's nothing wrong with femininity. Right. I mean, it's femininity. Yeah.
So why don't women want to be that anymore? Why is it? Why we're looking at the world?
Well, this is not a new problem. Number one. I mean, it's just that it's been more emphasized in the past 50 years, really since the 1920s, so really almost over 100 years since women, you know, I think with women's suffrage and, you know, that happened in the 20s and
yeah,
gaining the right to vote. Obviously, it probably came out of the 1800s and, you know, into the 1900s and came to a head in 1920, but we've really reaped what we've sown at this point, that this feminism has reached a fever pitch.
Yeah.
Even in the church.
Well, when I was a young lad, when I was just a tadpole, I remember something called the ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment, and this was in the 70s, and each state had to ratify it, and I think a few did, but it never was enough to become part of the Constitution then?
It never became a constitutional
amendment. I remember my mom fighting against it. I didn't know what was going on, but even, I think, you know, Roe versus Wade, that was all in the 70s, and that stuff all started coming in. You can see, I just, as you look around at our world today, there's a lot of girl power, and it didn't start with, you know, the girl bands, the Spice Girls,
yeah,
girl power, all this stuff, and then the Powder Puff Girls and the cartoons and all that stuff. But there is, you can see there is some kind of force going on where women are almost dominating men now in a lot of a society. There's a lot of single moms. We have women who say they don't need men. They can have families on their own. They can have their children and not have a husband and just take care of their family themselves. So they don't need men. Why do you think that God designed it that men are to lead?
Well, it starts, I mean, all you have to do is look at the pattern of Satan's attack. And that's that, you know, in the garden, well, who did Satan go after? He went after the woman. Why did he go after the woman? Because he knew that if he gets the woman, he also gets the husband and he also gets the kids, because the woman has so much influence in both those areas. And so he went after the woman because she is the weaker vessel, but ultimately she's the weaker vessel, but she has so much influence. And biblically we recognize that women have a huge impact in the life of the family and are very, 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 very important, critical even in the life of the family. And so Satan is, instead of using that for good, Satan used it to thwart God, to go against God. He used the woman to draw us into the fall. And so you see where I would argue, and I've argued before, that in Genesis 3, I think that the man was actually there with the woman, and that and ultimately what's going on is because the man was given the mandate. The man was given the mandate to cultivate and keep the garden, whereas the woman, and he was also told not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so the woman, that's the woman usurping the man's authority, but not just, yes, she's usurping the man's authority, but at the end of the day, he's letting her. I would argue he was right there. when you look at the Hebrew, I know people would some people would disagree with me, but I think when you look at the language there, that he was with her, like physically right side by side. And so when she ate of the fruit, he was there. Instead of saying no, God said don't do that, he actually didn't do anything. And then he followed the woman. And I think Satan knew that. Satan knew that if he got the woman, he was going to get the man. And if he got the woman, he was going to get the children. And we see that in Cain. We see that, you know, their firstborn, there is an influence that, you know, obviously is there. And so you see that effect of the sin of the fall in the garden.
So Satan picked out the woman on purpose because she was weaker. Because I've heard this, is there a goddess energy in the world? Or is that, have you ever heard of that Hebrew, there's an ancient Hebrew legend that Adam had a first wife named Lilith.
I've heard that.
And she rebelled, and then God created Eve, which I don't, that's not biblical. We don't believe that. But it's interesting that there is that kind of feminist wanting to break free from from men dominating, right? And even God dominating. Mm. Because God made Lilith to serve her husband, and she didn't want to do it. I don't know how the legend goes, but I just remember there's a Hebrew thing about that. But you can see that. All like if you go back to Genesis, that's kind of where this all begins, and it kind of festers itself as we move ahead to like the Tower of Babel. We look at our world. We have, you know, New Age. New Age is, it's actually Old Age. I mean, it's actually an old spirit. It's an old rebellion. It's not new. They just call it New Age, but it's actually old. It's been around since the Tower of Babel, where this divine feminine kind of, I don't know. It just seems to be sweeping the country. It seems to be sweeping the world.
Well, it's been coming a long time. You mentioned Babylon. I mean, obviously you can go back to the garden where Satan attacked the woman. And so that, I mean, that's all, it's all connected between what Satan has always tried to do. And so therefore, if there is a divine feminine, or if there's a, what do you call it, a goddess spirit?
Yeah.
If there is that, that's actually satanic.
Yeah.
It's actually a satanic force. I mean, it's actually Satan that's behind that, because he wants to usurp God's authority. He wants to thwart God's plan. And God's plan is worked out in how he created, which he created male and female, and he created males for a certain role and function. And he created females for a certain role and function, and the best thing that we can do is carry that out. And that's not as a result of the fall. That's actually baked into creation, because he created the man first and then the woman. And Paul picks up on that the idea of the woman is the one who was deceived. This is in 1 Timothy 2. And so yeah, I mean, there's definitely a satanic force that is behind all that, that's connected to creation and the fall. And it's also connected to what happened to the Tower of Babel, and has been handed down throughout the ages, and is now being handed down into what we would call, what you're saying, is New Age. But I think it's even infiltrating the church through some churches that are not where they need to be doctrinally. And that doesn't surprise, because there's always been, you know, that spirit, the woman Jezebel.
Yes.
And so there was a spirit of Jezebel in that church. Mm. And I think that that's the same thing that we're seeing today. And some people would say, there's a guy that you and I have listened to quite a bit who has said this, is that the new apostolic reformation, that is actually an extension of this same religion. Mm-hmm. It's the same feministic religion. And it's really, all of these false religions are coalescing around that. But again, it's all driven by Satan. It's all satanically driven.
Yeah, I just want to touch on before we move to the next level of this femininity, divine feminine, the specialness of women, that when God created woman, she's pretty amazing. When you think about how humans reproduce, how God came up with that inside of a woman.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's why Satan attacked the woman, because she has so much influence in the family, in family life, and in human society. Women have a large amount of influence in society, and so that's why, you know, if you think about the biblical order, you know, there's Christ is the head of man is the head of woman, and then you have the children that are submitting to the parents and ultimately to the husband. But it's really what Satan wants to do is usurp that, and that's the whole, you know, the rise of feminism, and they, you know, rise up, the whole idea of women rising up, and, you know, and even this whole, the whole conversation around patriarchy and the idea that men repressed women. And so the idea is that women would move out from under, so Christ is out of the picture ultimately, that women would move, instead of being under a man, instead of answering or being submissive to a man, that you would have men and women together. They would be equal in not just in terms of substance and who they are, but also equal in the ability to do what they need to do, what they want to do. And so women can usurp all that. And so I think that in 2025, as we sit here, we're reaping all of those things that have happened all the way down from creation, all the way to the Tower of Babel, and then what we've seen in the past century since the 20s in terms of women's right to vote and all those things that happened at that point. And then, you know, you have the 60s, the kind of the love decade and, you know, free love, and then you have 1973 and you have the abortion, or with the abortion decision, but you also have the pill that came on the scene and has now liberated women, so to speak, from having to go through childbearing, and so they can have free sex without having been tied down to children. And so then, you know, you see the rise of women in different aspects of society, and I think you're seeing it even in the church with, you know, women like Beth Moore usurping man's authority to preach. And you got to ask yourself, or to lead a church too, you got to ask yourself, why do they do that? I think the answer is, I mentioned 1 Timothy 2:9-15. Paul says, likewise, I want the women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, with modesty and self-restraint, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly clothing, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women professing godliness. Then he says this, a woman must learn in quietness and all submission, but I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over man, but to remain quiet. Well, why? Why is that the case? And I kind of alluded to this earlier. Well, it's because of creation. And Paul says that. For it was Adam who was first formed, and then Eve. And it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into trespass. And so ultimately, man having authority over the woman is not a shot at her substance and who she is in her terms of her worth. It's actually a protection, because Adam didn't protect Eve in the garden. Like he didn't, I mean, he stood and watched, and then he joined her, right? And it threw all of mankind into sin. That's the fall in the garden. And so it's not Eve's fault in that Adam was given, he was the one given the instructions. He was the one who was charged because Eve hadn't even been created at that point. When God said, when God placed him in the garden to cultivate it and keep it, and when God said, do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he told that to Adam. And so Adam, when he allowed Eve to partake, he basically is joining with her. And then he ultimately did join with her by actually partaking. Instead of saying, no, we're not doing that. God said, no. God said, do not eat from this tree. And he gave me that instruction, and I'm instructing you. And so he should have protected her. He should have protected the garden, and he failed in doing so. And ultimately, the reason why, you know, Christ is the head of man and man is the head of woman is because it's a protection for the woman, because she is valuable, because women are valuable. And they are so valuable to society that so go the women, so goes society. And I think that's what we're seeing today, that as the women begin to pull away from the home and, you know, go to work and do all these things, and, you know, the women power coming into leadership positions and things like that, as that happens, ultimately what's happening is that the men are stepping back. And it's only going to get worse, because unless something profound changes, because right now, if you look at our colleges and universities, it's mostly women that are being educated to be in those positions. And, you know, you're not going to get very many uneducated men that are going to be able to rise to any level of authority in within government or within corporations, or, I mean, so getting even less and less men who have that ability.
So how much of this, you said this was before the fall, that God had designed man?
That's what Paul says in 1 Timothy 2:13, for it was Adam who was first formed and then Eve. And so, I mean, he doesn't say it specifically, but it's implied that it was Adam, and we see this in Genesis 2 and 3, but it was Adam who was given the commands.
Right. But then after the fall, you do have God saying, doesn't he say to the woman?
Yeah, in Genesis 3:16, to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your pain and conception. In pain you will bear children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you.
Okay.
And so I think that what is inferred there would be, and it fits with the second part of it, the desire that women are going to have is to usurp the authority of their husband, which is what we're seeing, which is that women don't want to be under the authority of their husband. They want to be pulled away out of that. And so, but it says, and he will rule over you. And we see that work itself out, because, you know, as men, you know, you kind of envision this by somebody sitting, a guy sitting in front of the television with his remote, you know, the kids are running around and going crazy and he's not doing anything. And then all of a sudden, you know, and the wife is ruling the roost, but then all of a sudden he gets mad and he, you know, he breaks and he ends up abusing, which is obviously a sinful response. But I think it comes from the fall. It comes from the curse.
Well, I was just going to ask you this too. How do we then respond? Because obviously men have not lived up to what they should be doing, right? Men are to love their wives the way Christ loved the church. Men, as a man, we do fall short in a lot of things. So yes, men have dropped the ball in that, and there's been a lot of abuse of women by men down through the centuries.
There's no other way to explain it. Men have taken advantage. There have been men who have taken advantage of their authority, and there are men today who take advantage of their authority. But that doesn't make God's plan wrong.
Well, I was going to ask you, what do we say to those women who have lived through that, and now they're taking charge? I'm not going to put up with this anymore. They're the ones that are going
to
run it.
Well, I mean, I think you have to say that what's hard about that is that we don't want to be in a position where we're telling a woman that she has to go and be abused again, right? So we're not saying that, but she needs to live a life that, to the best of her ability, she needs to try to be obedient to what God has said. And she may have to pull out of the marriage, you know, because of a situation with the husband being unfaithful that way. And by the way, I think if they're unfaithful that way, they'll ultimately be unfaithful, you know, in terms of sexually as well. But that's a side note. But she may have to, in order to be protected, she may have to, you know, not be together with her husband, you know, for a season or even for the rest of her life if he never repents. And so we want to be very careful with that. But her attitude, her position can never be, I'm going to take over and I'm going to rule the roost because that's, you know, he's a deadbeat. That's not a godly response.
Yeah, there's men that have misinterpreted that. And like you were just giving that example of sitting in with a remote, turning the, I was thinking of even sitting there before a remote and making your wife turn the channel and treating her as a slave rather than a wife, and loving her the way Christ loves the church. So that, and we're definitely not, we would definitely say if you're an abusive, get out.
Absolutely.
Make sure you're safe. There's mental and there's physical abuse as well. And it is, I think it would be hard for a woman who if she is married to a man and he's not leading the way he should be, that to try to have the patience to wait until he, you know, can do that, which I think is hard, because there are some very smart, sharp women who, you know, are waiting.
Well, and the thing is that practically speaking, they may have to quote unquote lead, you know, in a situation where the husband's not leading in the way he should. But the attitude, I mean, as an example, if he's a deadbeat and not doing the things that he should do, she may have to get a job, right? She may have to work and support the family, because the family can't starve. And so, and you know, I'm not saying that two wrongs make a right, but what I am saying is that even in those situations that are real situations that happen, you know, her attitude should be, and her prayer should be, that her husband would actually take over again. Like, it's not, I mean, what I see so many times is that women end up stepping up because their husband is not where they need to be, and they never relinquish that control. Like, it's never, I now, the husband can never, like, it's a done deal. And, you know, so he's given up that control, and now he can't prove himself anymore. And that's a problem.
Yeah. I'm not saying all men are like this, but I think in a way God designed marriage, because if men never got married, I don't know if, I'm not saying all men, but I'm just saying a lot of men would never grow up. I think we would be boys. We would, you know, have our four-wheel drives, and we'd go drive in the mud and not care. We'd go play golf or tennis or basketball. I mean, we wouldn't, there'd be no care in the world, right? But when you're married, it's a responsibility now to take care of your wife and your family, to be the provider, to you know, make sure everybody's okay and safe. And so that it takes maturity to do that. But in men, I don't know if we would mature without our wives. But then again, it's hard for the wives to sit back and wait for that to happen and be patient, like we were saying.
Yes.
Because I remember one pastor, I was talking to him, and this was Dave Cummings in California, and he had some wise words to say, because someone asked him one time, my husband tends to not make the right decision, or I feel. But he said, sometimes you have to just let your husband make the decision and trust God.
Yeah.
That he's going to work it out. Because sometimes women, and I know men can think this, I could do better if you let me do this or let me lead. There's sort of a, like we were just talking about this, there's kind of a teamwork involved in a marriage where the husband is asking his wife, what do you think of this? But the husband makes the final decision.
Well,
but
that's the way it should work.
Yeah.
I mean, I should listen to my wife and hear her thoughts. I mean, I, you know, when I'm thinking of something that's difficult, I'm constantly reaching out to my wife and you know, laying out the scenario, and this is what I'm thinking, and, you know, what do you think? Am I seeing this the way I should? And there are times when she sees things differently than I do, and it's helpful because she's seeing it from a different point of view. And, you know, I may be too quick to make decisions that I shouldn't make because I'm being emotional about it. And so I should, as a husband, I should lean on my wife that way. She's my helpmate. I mean, she's the one who God has made to help me in that way. And so, but where that gets off the rails is when the woman now is usurping the authority, where instead of it being a helping role, it's a leading role. I'm now leading my husband and dictating, you know, what we're going to do, because my husband is a, you know, deadbeat and or isn't mature or whatever.
So getting back to this feminism, we talk about divine feminism, which we have just said begins in the Garden of Eden with Satan when he usurps the man. Well, the man was there, but he just went around him and went right to Eve to pull her into his little schemes. So he's trying to take away what God has ordained, right? That God has ordered. There's a certain order. Like you talked about, Christ is the head of man. Man is the head of woman. Woman, the head of the children. Kind of both men and women are there. But God has designed that way. And actually, I think you said men are to protect women from Satan. And
yeah, we're still to protect the garden.
Yes, even though...
And you know, our wife and our children are part of this garden. You know, that's my house is the garden, so to speak. I know it's not a perfect analogy, but it is the I think there is an analogy there that I'm still called to keep evil away from my doorstep. You know, to keep evil out of the home. That's why I would make certain decisions, like what we watch on television, or whether we even watch television, or you know, what we see on our phones and things like that. I should be aware of those things as a husband. I should be teaching theology. I should be praying. I should be doing all of those things within the home, because that's the garden. That's the garden, I mean, that I'm responsible for. I should be doing what Adam failed to do in my own home. And unfortunately, we're all going to fail, you know, in that. We're going to fail because we're made in the likeness of Adam. And, you know, that we sin in the sin like Adam sinned. And so we're still going to have the effect of the fall. But as, you know, those who follow Christ, we want to listen and obey him. And to the extent that we do, we're, you know, being Christ-like. And to the extent we do, we're protecting our families. And that's our role as a husband. That's our main role, is to protect and provide.
Yeah. And when you look at this divine feminine, what they're doing is they're saying they're trying to bring balance back to the universe on like a Star Wars thing, where men and women are now equal at the same level, but really it's women usurping men, that becoming more the ones that are in power. So I come to ask you, what do you think brings balance to a woman's life?
Well, I don't know if balance is the right word, but you know, Paul says in 1 Timothy 2 again, Paul says, you know, we already talked about it before, it was Adam who was first formed and then Eve. And it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into trespass. But then he says this, but she will be saved through the bearing of children. For if they continue in faith and love and sanctification with self-restraint. That's important, because, you know, that whole thing of being saved, it's not saved in a salvific point of view. And matter of fact, in the LSB, in the Legacy Standard Version, there's a footnote, and it's vindicated. She will be vindicated through the bearing of women. And I think contextually that makes a lot of sense, is that that's what Paul meant in saying that he used that word, but he meant the idea would be vindicated. And the idea there is that as they raise godly children, as they work in the home, as they raise godly children, they're able to, basically there's a reversal of the curse that comes with that. You know that if I raise my children to love the Lord, then ultimately there's a blessing that comes with that God has promised here. And so you ask, what, you know, in terms of balance, I don't know if that's a good word to use, but what would make women the most happy? Well, it's going to be ultimately being workers in the home and bearing children, and those are the things that I think are going to bring the most happiness. And I know that's not popular in the world today, but that's what Scripture says, and I believe Scripture. I believe what Scripture says, and I believe that what Paul says here is not, you know, a male chauvinist. He's actually looking at the order of things and the role of the man to protect the woman, and the role of the woman to bear children and to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Although they have a role of that, ultimately that is, you know, falls to the man, but it really him working through the woman is, because she's going to have more influence on the kids. I mean, that's just the way it works. My wife has more direct influence on my kids than I do. I think I have ultimately more influence in terms of the whole family, but she's, you know, day to day, she's the one that is leading our children, leading that way. And I'm ultimately leading the family. And so, again, this protecting that biblical hierarchy of Christ, the man, the woman, the children.
So would it be better, instead of saying balance, should Christians be more concerned with God's order than a balance?
That's the problem is that with the balance, where women are trying to rise up, right? They're trying to rise up and become equal with men. What goes away? Well, the other two components, Christ and children. And we see that, right? Christ is no longer part of the family structure. Now, Christ may be named, the name of Christ may be named, but I would argue that's another Christ. It's not the Christ of the Bible. But children go away too. And we see that with abortion. We see that with the pill, that children are no longer important in the family structure. I mean, in terms of when you look at it from a secular point of view or a secular worldview, children are no longer important. They don't want children. Matter of fact, they loathe having children because it's, you know, it doesn't allow them the freedom to do the things that they want to do. And so, and you talk about it getting worse. And I think that it will get worse because men have taken a back seat. And unfortunately, a lot of the young men are playing video games, you know, involved in drugs and alcohol, or, you know, sitting at in their mama's basement and not growing up. And you have these men that are just they won't grow up. They won't take on the responsibility of a family. And so when that happens, you have all these women who have no good prospects for a husband. So what are they going to do? So it ends up being a self. And then you throw in on top of it the fact that it's the women who are getting educated by and large. I mean, the women women dominate the colleges and universities. And so ultimately they're going to fall to the leadership positions in all these corporations, and in the government is going to fall to the women. And I think that's what we're seeing. Mm-hmm. You see all these young women, even in the Trump administration. I don't think this knows party lines, to be honest. Even in the Trump administration, yes, the women are generally more conservative, but they're getting these big major leadership roles, even within his administration.
Absolutely, and I think we see it all over as it ramps up in our world today. I was just thinking when we're recording this, I think a week ago we had that all female space crew, where they consider now astronauts. We had some celebrities, Katy Perry and some others, that went up in space. And what's funny is it took them 28 minutes to do their makeup, and they were in space for 11 minutes. So actually, they did their makeup.
They did their makeup in 28 minutes? I can't believe it.
Well, that's what I've heard, so who knows. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is that they made such a huge deal out of this. Like, this was the most historic, because it was an all-female crew. Yeah, they went for a ride. Yeah, it took a little courage, because that thing could have blown up. But really, they didn't fly anything. They just went for a ride. But still, they made such a big deal out of it. So as we look at the world, is that why there's so much, we're seeing, as Satan's ramping this up, so much girl power everywhere? I mean, we look at movies, right? They're rewriting all the movies. The Lord of the Rings are now women instead of men, and Star Wars, he's got women instead of men. I mean, everything is being redone with women.
Well, I mean, yeah, we're seeing that in obviously the comics, and we're seeing it in movies. We're seeing it in television shows where men are being portrayed as weak and bumbling fools, and women are being portrayed as sharp and have it all together. And, you know, that's how men have been portrayed for a long time. Matter of fact, even Archie Bunker, you know, was this racist white guy, and you know, that he just was a bumbling idiot. And we've seen that progress. You know, there's the show The King of Queens, I think it is.
Yeah, it's my favorite show.
Is it?
Yeah. Doug Heffernan. King of Queens was Kevin James.
Kevin James. But I mean, he was portrayed as a bumbling idiot, right? I mean, it was a funny show. His wife was kind of running the show. She basically was running the show.
Yes.
And
same as Everybody Loves Raymond, kind of the same way.
Yeah, Everybody Loves Raymond is a great example. And so we're seeing that even more and more, where women are being elevated. I mean, we're seeing it in the sports world, but right now that, you know, the WNBA, as an example, is this, I mean, it's a high school, a decent high school boys team could beat any team in the WNBA, literally. I mean, it's been shown, it's happened. They couldn't even, you know, they can't even compete with a decent high school boys team. And so, yeah. But they're being put on this pedestal where it's just this whole thing of raising women up and making women, giving women, you know, the women power. But it's anti-God, because it's ultimately against the order of how God has created things.
Where do we go when you mentioned this already, why that all positions of power are starting to be held by women. We have police chiefs, fire chiefs, mayors, governors. You know, we talk about college presidents. Virtually everything is going to be run by women. Where does that leave men?
Holding the bag. Well, what's interesting is that there's something that they can never, you know, when you look at society, ultimately it has to collapse if it continues going that way. If you you continue to marginalize men, then ultimately society has to collapse. And what's going to happen is that there's going to be a male-dominated society that ultimately takes over. That, I mean, if things
like
go...
Like Amazons, like Wonder Woman?
No, like Muslims.
Oh.
Yeah.
They're the opposite of women power.
Yeah.
Right?
They are the absolute opposite.
Wow.
And so that it leaves a vacuum, you know, and because men are the protectors. Men are the one who fights, they fight the wars. That men are the ones who build the bridges and build the buildings and build the infrastructure that needs to be built. I mean, you take men and you take men and you bring them down low. All of those things still need to be done in a functioning society, and that you're not going to have that. You're not going to have them in leadership, but you're not going to have them in the trades either. And we're already seeing that. We're already seeing where the trades are. You know, plumbing, electricity, the mechanics. I mean, there is a need for more men to be those things. And I'm not saying that women can't do those things, but by and large, those are men's jobs. Because of the physical aspect of it.
That's what I was going to ask you. Are we saying women can't do it or shouldn't do it? Because I think they could, but should they?
Well, the thing is they can't be the primary.
Okay.
Right? They can't be the primary pool by which we pull from some of these jobs. Yeah. Is there a, you know, as an example, Margaret Thatcher was a, you know, pretty dynamic leader back in the day. But she was the exception, not the rule.
Yeah.
You know, back in the 80s, she was the exception on the world stage of a strong woman like that. Whereas the rule was that it was men who were leading these, you know, the governments. And so we're still seeing that some, like in the United States, you have Trump who's president, J.D. Vance vice president. You have the current Speaker of the House, a man. I think the Senate Majority Leader is a man. So you still have male leadership in those areas, but we've also seen women rise up in those areas too, with, you know, Kamala Harris, Hillary Clinton, Nancy Pelosi. Yeah. And so,
and I'm sure we're moving towards that day, and I think it's coming closer, is that we'll have a woman president. We almost had a couple. Hillary and Kamala came close, but Donald Trump, he likes to beat women. He did.
Well, the irony is that I would bet that we're more likely to have a quote-unquote conservative woman president. Yeah, I'm not giving a conservative Republican Party a free pass here, because they may be better than where the Democrats are, but they're still infected by the issue. And yeah, we're not saying that women can't do those things. That was the original question.
Yeah,
we're not saying women can't do those things and not capable of doing those things. It's a matter of, there are women who can do those things. And that's fine in certain situations. It's fine. But ultimately, it's the men who are failing. You know, that if you looked at it realistically, if you looked at it biblically, and you had the choice between a strong man leader versus a woman, you would choose the strong man as a leader. And it's interesting, because in the church, that's definitely the case, because it's interesting in that 1 Timothy 2 passage that Paul talks about women and not a teaching or exercising authority. Well, after he says she will be saved through the bearing of children if they continue in faith and love and sanctification with self-restraint, the very next verse he says, it is a trustworthy saying, if a man aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a good work. An overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife. And so clearly what Paul is laying out there is that elders that are leading the church and teaching in the church ought to be men. They should be men. And so we see that modeled in the church, and that's what God expects in the church. And so, can there be exceptions in society? Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that women can't do any of these things. I'm just saying that it should be really the exception, not the rule.
And not saying they can't, but yeah, not like it is right now. I mean, even when you watch, when I was a boy, when you watch newscast, it was always men who gave you the news. Now it's all women. Now you have women weather casters, and you also have women sportscasters, and it's all female news crews, which I don't know if it's good or bad, but I just remember as a kid, it was the other way around. I think it could be a good mixture, but yeah, where are the men? Where'd they go?
Yeah, that's the problem.
Where are they?
Yeah, the men have exited stage right.
Yes. And I'm just going to say, I want you to touch on this for a minute, because here's you and I, Pastor Keith, Pastor Brandon, two men, we're sitting here talking about feminism and women. What gives us the right to be able to do that? Well, we're just doing it. We're looking at it biblically, and we're not trying to say that, you know, we're experts in the feminine everything, but what we're trying to say is that when we look at the world today, we see this divine feminine taking off and exploding, and it's all goes back to the Garden of Eden. And that, what I was just wanted you to touch on is, here's two guys, here we are, two men talking about women, and I don't know how women feel about that, but we're trying to do it in a loving, biblical way, right?
Well, we don't have any authority. Like, you and I don't have any authority other than what is given by God. And we don't have any authority other than in his word. And I need to then understand his word and lead according to his word. And that's all I'm trying to, you know, when I bring up 1 Timothy 2:15, when mm-hmm. I bring up 1 Timothy 3, when, you know, you look at Titus 2, there's another passage that we haven't hit on hard. But you know, when you look at all of this, I mean, we're just saying what God is saying. And we're trying to help you understand the reason behind it. And the reason behind it is to protect the woman, because the woman is so important. That's what's so amazing, is Christianity, understood rightly, puts women on a pedestal. And not in an ungodly way, but in a godly way, that they are so critical because they're critical to the family, they're critical to society, and they're critical to God. They're made in the image of God. It's not like they're not. So for us, it's like we want to elevate women, but we want to elevate them in a godly, biblical way.
Why do you think there was, when we grew up, and I know we're old, but we grew up, we were not allowed to hit women. I had two sisters, and if I touched them, my dad came after me. But now it's okay for men and women to fight, like actually fight. Like, when? How did that change?
Yeah, you see these videos where the woman, you know, goes off and then the man clocks her, and you see all the comments.
But like, women are even attacking men like that, like physically.
Yeah.
Which I never thought you'd ever see.
Yeah, well, you do see it now.
Yeah.
Yeah, women attacking men.
And they're fist fighting. Yeah. Like it's...
Yeah, and men are hitting back.
Right.
Yeah.
Will it ever get to a point where women will be stronger and be able to...
I don't think so, because God has made women a certain way. Now, will men get to the point where they're too weak? Well, if you think about it, we've talked about this before, but you know, the testosterone level has dropped, you know, precipitously since the 70s. And so, I mean, the average testosterone... So what that means is that the average man is more feminine and therefore not as strong. And so... So if you continue to have the weakening of men and women rising up and women power, then you're going to ultimately have women that are usurping. And, you know, there are women out there for sure who can, you know, kick a man's tail. I mean, not every man, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they're not going to kick probably Chris Hemsworth. They're probably not going to be able to do that because he's a pretty big, strong dude. You know, and there are others like him.
I think it's ridiculous when they do the ultimate fighting and put men in that. Oh my goodness!
Yeah,
that when I started seeing that stuff happening, I'm like, hey, you know what? We're in the end times because it's ridiculous.
It's true.
I don't know why they're doing that. I was always brought up to protect women and not fight them.
No, the only thing I could do is restrain.
Maybe
I think I could restrain. I don't think I would. I don't think if a woman punched me, I don't think I would punch her back.
Yeah.
But I would probably restrain her to where she can't punch.
Yeah.
That would be just to neutralize her is what I would try to do. Neutralize her in the sense of being able to inflict more damage.
But young men growing up today, they don't have that.
No.
They'll pop you right back.
Yeah.
Which, it's sad to see all this happening. And the reason, that's the reason we brought this up.
It's interesting. You bring up even how women are being treated in society. They're being treated. I mean, they're being sent to the front lines, in the military.
Pretty much men.
And, they're being made pilots. And what if a pilot, what if you're in war behind them in the enemy lines and you crash? What are they going to do to that woman?
Yeah.
You know, it's ludicrous what we see happening. And it really is the fall of society. I mean, and we're... Young people, that's what they know. Like, they don't know what you and I know. Like, they didn't come from most of them didn't come from a world that those things didn't happen. Like, if something like that would have happened when I was young, when I was even in my 20s, something like a man punching a woman, that man would be marked for life.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is a weakling, and he beats on women, and you would never live that down. Nowadays, it seems to be more and more commonplace, and I don't see it changing. I see it getting worse.
Yeah.
But women are putting themselves in that position because of this whole idea of rising up. They want to be treated that way.
Yep.
Instead of being protected, they want to be right out in the big middle of it. And so,
instead of women, they want to be men.
Well, they want to.
That's
they
their
certainly
version.
Want to usurp the authority.
Yeah.
I don't know if they want to be men in the sense. Well, maybe. That's what's interesting. This guy that we listen to sometimes, what's interesting about it, he was talking about men and how men are growing longer hair now.
Yes.
And, looking more feminine.
And women are growing short hair. Women are
getting shorter and shorter hair and, getting more masculine. And that's what I was talking about earlier with you said, talked about women and, is it going to come time where women can beat up men, in general? And that's a possibility if you think about with the testosterone and the feminization of men that's going on.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it'll be interesting to see where this divine feminine, this force goes and how far it goes and how far the Lord allows it to go, because it does go against God's order. And we are old. We were both born in the 1900s. So we have more in common probably with the pilgrims than we do kids today, but we're looking at it from a biblical worldview.
We were born closer to 1950 than 2050.
Yes.
It is to us now.
And people look at it, they look back and go, wow, you guys are old, but
you guys are ancient.
I don't feel that old, but yeah, you're right. It happens. So anyway, okay. We just wanted to touch on that divine feminine. The reason we brought that up is because of that space launch thing with the all women crew. So I just thought we would touch on that.
Yeah, it's a big deal. We didn't hit on that very, very much, but I did want to respond to that. You didn't ask a question. It's about the whole liftoff thing and like they're astronauts. Well, the problem is they didn't really actually go to space.
Well, they went on the fringe of space.
They went right at the edge.
Yeah.
But they didn't cross over into what would be space. And so they were only, the whole flight was 11 minutes.
Yes.
They were weightless, if you will, and for like three to four minutes. And, it just was this, but it ultimately was a PR stunt. And then you get Katy Perry in her interview with all these new age ideas that she's spouting, the whole, universe loves me and all this, the spirit and all that.
The mother goddess.
Yeah, she's espousing all that new age stuff that now is being. Here's what's sad is it's in the church too.
Yeah,
what's going on in the church and the new apostolic reformation is a big proponent of
allowing women to preach,
lead worship.
Yep,
rise up. That whole thing, and I would argue that it's interesting because you're talking about the spirit. I think that they've taken the Holy Spirit and have changed that to be more of a feminine.
Mm.
I think that's what they're doing. It's more of a feminine. What's interesting is, by the way, is the whole the hand of God touching the hand of man, that famous
Michelangelo.
the reason I say that is because it's Gnostic. And it was just pointed out to me that if you look at behind the image of God that's been painted, there's actually a woman there.
Oh.
Yeah, and there's like a third person there as well. Huh. And that's supposedly the Gnostic Trinity is what.
Wow.
It's just an interesting thing that I never have noticed. I've just noticed the God, the one who's portrayed as God.
I never did either.
With the silver hair and then man, you know, reaching out to touch him. And so that's all I noticed. But if you look in the background, you see a woman in the background.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Lilith.
No, it's not. I don't think it's Lilith. I'm not as versed on it, but there's a feminine. Mm-hmm. You're talking about the feminine spirit.
Yeah, divine feminine.
Yeah. But I think in the church, what's happening is that the Holy Spirit is one that's being, that's changed into that feminine spirit.
Did the shack kind of do that? Or?
Oh, yeah, that's a big one too.
Okay.
The shack and you're portraying God as a woman.
Okay.
And a lot of the, you know, the players that we know are out there, false teachers that are out there were involved in that as well. So.
Yeah, there's a lot. Well, we could talk about this for another hour, but we'll just kind of put an end to it right here. And hopefully this was informative and not confusing. And we're just trying to, again, look at this stuff biblically, and we see it going on in the world. It continues to grow and grow and grow as you see the world going more and more that way.
Yeah. I think that for our listeners, I think we have to realize that our women are under attack.
Yeah.
Especially in the church.
Good way to put it.
And we need to be protecting them.
Yeah.
And the reason we need to be protecting them is because ultimately we're protecting the family, we're protecting the church. We need to be taking that responsibility seriously, whether it's in your homes or whether it's, you know, in church. Really what you support in church and how you look and understand church, and especially church leadership. Just making sure to understand that we need to stand strong in those areas, because it is under attack.
Yeah.
And we haven't dealt with it as much at Grace Bible Church, but that doesn't mean that we won't.
And women are amazing. They just, the way God created them.
You've been listening to Fresh Bread, podcast ministry of Grace Bible Church Gainesville. For more information, go to gracegainesville.org. And thanks for listening.